ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الله سبحانه وتعالى describes the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Quran by saying نون والقلم وما يسطرون. He gives an oath by the pen and that which it writes. ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون. You are not by the grace of your Lord a madman. وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون. And you will of a certainty have a great reward, a reward that will not be counted. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. And of a surety you are upon a very noble conduct. You have a very great characteristics and manners. So of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above the seven heavens praises, of the characteristics that he mentions with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet's akhlaq, the Prophet's good manners, the Prophet's etiquette, the Prophet's morals and characteristics. And this is a topic that many Muslims, all of them, they know that it is good to have good akhlaq. It is important to have good akhlaq and manners. Yet, unfortunately, few of them, and I speak about myself as well, put this into practice and implementation. And few of them know the evidences and know the importance and the status of good akhlaq in a Muslim's life. Therefore, when we turn to the Quran and Sunnah, with this goal in mind, to extract from the Quran, to extract from the Sunnah, how is akhlaq important? Why is it so important? We find that the Quran and Sunnah mentions akhlaq not just in one, not just in 20, not just in dozens and dozens of verses and ahadith. So in order to summarize the importance of akhlaq, in order to mention the most important factors, I have summarized and before me today in this short lecture 8 or 9 points which are mentioned by the Quran and Sunnah which show why akhlaq are so important. Why akhlaq are so important, characteristics are so important in a Muslim's life. And this is, if you like, a precursor. This is an introductory topic which will not actually deal with akhlaq, but inshallah it will raise in us the incentive. It will raise in us the reason why we should study about akhlaq. The importance of patience, the importance of sabr, the importance of having husnul dhan with Allah, the importance of tawakkul. All of these characteristics in akhlaq, they follow after we understand the importance of akhlaq. If we don't know the importance, why do we care about it? If we don't know the importance, what will give us the incentive to act upon these good akhlaq? So, like I said, I have compiled 8 or 9 points that I have found in the Quran and Sunnah, and I'm sure that there are more than these, but just as a summary and a reminder for myself and my fellow Muslim brothers. The first point which shows you the importance of akhlaq from the Quran and Sunnah is we find that it is of the comprehensive advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to mankind and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to us as well. And this is mentioned in many, many verses and many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. For example, talking to the children of the Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. When we took the covenant from Bani Israel, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Don't worship except Allah. So there's a covenant that Allah has taken with Bani Israel, which shows you it must be a very important covenant. What is it consisting of? Number one, worship only Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be good to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Practice ihsan with your parents. وَبِالْقُرْبَى. And close relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى. And orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And poor people. وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ. And the traveler and the wayfarer. All of these people, you must be good to them, show good akhlaq to them. This is the covenant that Allah took with them. That worship Allah alone and show ihsan to all of these people. وَالْجَارِ الْقُرْبَ and your neighbor that lives close to you. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوب and the neighbor that is further away from you. And some ulama say, جَارِ الْقُرْبَ is your permanent neighbor and جَارِ الْجُنُوب is the one that is your temporary neighbor, like when you're traveling and he is your temporary neighbor. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ and even with your slaves. So the covenant that Allah took with Bani Israel is worship me alone and have good akhlaq to the rest of mankind. Basically, this is how the verse translates. Which shows you the importance of this, that the covenant of Allah consists of being good to Allah and then being good to the rest of mankind, whoever they might be, even your slaves. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the servants of Rahman, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The ibad of the Rahman, the servants of the Rahman, they walk with humility on this earth. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when the ignorant speak to them, they respond with salam, with peace. So their akhlaq are above the akhlaq of the rifah. Their manners are above the manners of everyone else. Even though they have so much knowledge and ilm, when they walk on this earth, they walk with humility. They don't walk arrogantly and pridefully and boastfully. Also in the story of Luqman alayhi salam, the story of the advice that Luqman gave to his children, we find so much advice. وَالْقَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Luqman advises his son not to do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rest of the advice is all about akhlaq. The rest of the advice is all about akhlaq. Be good to your parents, do not say oof to them, do not walk arrogantly on the earth, وَلَا تُصَاعِدْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ don't show your cheek to mankind, don't walk arrogantly on the earth. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا and do not be boastful. Act like a swagger in your walk. يعني act like you walk as if you are someone of substance. Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَمْ يعني تَخْدَقُ الْأَرْضَ وَلَا تَبْلُغُ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا you will not be able to go down inside the earth, nor will you reach the mountains and height because of your arrogance. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا say good to mankind. So we find that the Qur'an so often mentions akhlaq in very important situations and circumstances. So too with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mu'ad came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked for some advice. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتِ fear Allah, wherever you might be. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it will erase it. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ three things he told him. The third thing was, and when you meet people, when you interact with them, have good akhlaq. Likewise, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and also asked him for advice. So the Prophet ﷺ said, istaqim, be firm. In other words, in your Islam, be firm. Don't sway in your Islam. Let your iman be firm. Your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your practicing of Islam, let it be firm. وَلْيَحْسَنْ خُلُقُكَ لِلنَّاسِ and let your akhlaq be good to mankind. So whenever the Prophet ﷺ was asked about akhlaq, about comprehensive advice, in general many times he would mention something to do with akhlaq. A man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice. The Prophet said, La taghdab, don't get angry. He said, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice, you wanted some more. He said, La taghdab. Ya Rasulullah, give me advice, La taghdab. Kept on saying this. Don't get angry. This was the comprehensive advice that the Prophet gave him. Because as we know, anger is one of the roots which causes evil in the society. When we get angry at other people, we say things that we don't mean to say. When we get angry at other people, yani people are offended, people are hurt, and we ourselves do irrational things. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear Allah, and do not trivialize any good deed. No matter what it is, don't trivialize it. Even if you pour some water from your bucket into your brother's bucket. Even if you pour water from your bucket into your brother's bucket, do not trivialize it. You realize that in the old days, they would have to draw up water from a bucket. And this was something that was very common to do. It was not something that is difficult. Something that every person must do every single day. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not trivialize anything of good deeds. Even if you just throw some water from your bucket into your brother's bucket so that it saves him the trouble of picking up that water. And even if you meet your brother with a smiling face, for verily this too is sadaqah. So like we said, the comprehensive advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it shows you that akhlaq is a very important characteristic of the Muslim. And one hadith he said that if one person curses you, or he points out a fault in you which you feel you don't have, then do not curse him back. And do not point out a fault that he does have. So someone is talking bad about you, he's putting you down, and he's saying faults that you don't have. The Prophet ﷺ says you feel you don't have them. What should be your response to this Muslim brother? The Prophet ﷺ said, don't curse him back. And don't point out faults that he does have. Because if you do so, then the sin will be upon him and there will be no sin upon you. You are scared that if you start pointing out his own faults, you start getting angry, it will become worse and both of you become guilty in the sin. But the Prophet ﷺ, and this is the height of wisdom, because it's human nature. And everyone knows this. When a person gets angry at you and you respond with patience and humility, wallahi, if that person has the slightest iman in his heart, he himself will feel guilty. And he will come and seek your forgiveness. But if he doesn't, if you respond back to him, and he responds back to you, and you respond back to him, now everyone will blame the other party. You are the guilty one. You said this about me, you said that about me, and so these two Muslim brothers are broken off. But if you show the wisdom, and you show good akhlaq in this type of situation, like the Prophet ﷺ advises, when someone curses you, and when someone says something bad he thinks you have, and you don't have it, don't respond back. In another hadith he said, if you remain quiet, the angels themselves defend you on your behalf. As long as you remain quiet, the angels will defend you. And like I said, if this other person has iman in his heart, he himself will feel guilty and he will come and apologize to you. If you follow the prophetic advice, the ukhuwah amongst Muslims will remain. And if you don't follow it, then it will shatter up. So, this is one of the evidences that akhlaq is very important, that we always find it mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, and not just at any times of importance. Comprehensive advice of the Prophet, and also in the Quran, the Mithaq that Allah took with the children of Israel, and so many other verses describing the believers, the advice of the Quran. All of this, the emphasis after Tawheed is upon akhlaq. The second benefit of akhlaq is that the Prophet ﷺ clearly informed us that the best blessing a person can be given in this life is good akhlaq. The best blessing that any man can be given, better than money and better than status and power, better than anything worldly possession, is good akhlaq. The Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ مَا أُعْطِيَ النَّاسِ خُلُقٌ حَسَنٌ. The best thing that mankind has been given is خُلُقٌ حَسَنٌ, good akhlaq. This is the best blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to mankind. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِحُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. I advise you, I command you to be upon good akhlaq, وَطُولِ الصَّمْتِ, and to remain silent for long periods of time. Don't speak without any reason. The wise man, as the saying even is in English, is that silence is golden. Don't speak for long periods of time. فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. By him in whose hands is my soul, the Prophet ﷺ is swearing, مَا تَحَمَّلَ الْخَلَاءَكُ بِمِثْلِهَا. Mankind cannot do anything better than this. To have istil khuluq and to remain quiet for long periods of time, and by the way, remaining quiet for long periods of time is in fact a part of good characteristics in lives. Wherever a person goes, he shows his humility, he shows his fear of Allah by not speaking except with a reason and a cause to speak. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said, that إِنَّ النَّاسَ لَمْ يُعْطُوا شَيْئًا خَيْرًا مِنْ خُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. That mankind has not been given anything that is better than خُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, good akhlaq. So we find that the second benefit that is mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah is that good akhlaq is the best blessing that mankind has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third benefit, the third fadila of having good akhlaq is that the rewards of one who practices good akhlaq can be greater than, or at least equivalent to, the rewards of one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is possible that a man can reach the level of the sawwam al-nahari qawwam al-layl, the one who fasts continuously in the day and the one who prays continuously in the night with his good akhlaq. So this is one of the ways which gives people like us, yani heart and hope. People like us who don't fast every single day or every single day we should. Now that we pray the nights, how can we reach such a level in reward? By practicing good akhlaq. The Prophet ﷺ said that it is possible that the Muslim who is musaddad means he is very friendly and he fills in the gaps. If there is a gap between you and your brother, you will go try to fill up that gap. It is possible that the Muslim, the musaddad, لا يدرك درجة الصوام القوام بخلقه الحسن. That it is possible he reached the level if he is musaddad. Musaddad, so what does it mean? He will fill in any gaps. There's some gap in your brother's heart about you, you fill it up with love. There's some distance between you and another relative or a friend, you fill it up with friendship. So when he is like this, he is outgoing. He has a good personality with the Muslims. He is very friendly with them. It is possible that he will reach the level of the sawam qawam. In this hadith, the sawam al qawam, the one who fasts continuously and the one who prays continuously, because of his good akhlaq, he will reach that level. So this is the third blessing that is mentioned, that good akhlaq brings you to the level of the one who fasts all day and prays all night. The fourth blessing of good akhlaq is that good akhlaq, personal khuluq, is a sign of perfecting one's iman. It is a sign of perfecting one's iman. In other words, if a person has good iman, he must have good akhlaq. And if he does not have good akhlaq, he will not have good iman. This is the standard. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The best of those who have iman are the best that have akhlaq. So the more iman that a person has, the more akhlaq he will have. Another hadith, he said, أفضل المؤمنين, the best of all believers, أفضل. In one hadith he said, أكمل, which means the most perfect, the most complete. In the other hadith he said, أفضل, which means the one who has preferred, the one who has the higher status. He said, أفضل المؤمنين, the best of all believers are those who have the best akhlaq. And then he said, وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ, then the best of you are those who are best to their wives. Once again, dealing with akhlaq. Why is this, that the best of you are those who are best to their wives? Because if you can show good akhlaq to your wife, this is the real sign of good akhlaq. It is very easy to put on good akhlaq when you go outside of your house. You meet the Muslims in the masjid for an hour. You go to your work for 2-3 hours and you meet the people there. It is easy to put on a show of good akhlaq there. But if you have good akhlaq with your wife, if you can be patient at the faults of your wife, if you can overlook those faults and show her good akhlaq, then in reality, this is a sign of iman. The one whom you eat with, drink with, sleep with, everything, if this is the one that you can show good akhlaq to, then of a surety you will be able to show good akhlaq to others besides your wife. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِلْسَائِلِ, the best of you are the best of you to your women, and I am the best of you to my wives, the Prophet ﷺ said. Because like I said, that if you can be good to your wife and your family and your children, this is a sign that you can be good to other than them. And if you're not good to them, but good to other people, this is in fact a sign of hypocrisy. When you leave the house, you put on another sign, another face, be good akhlaq of you. When you go home, you go home with an angry smile, yani angry face, getting angry at the most trivial things. This is a sign of hypocrisy, that in front of the other people you act like this, and in front of your family and children, you act like that. So we said that this too is one of the signs of, yani one of the blessings of iman, that a person, the more iman he has, the more akhlaq he has. And the opposite is also true. The less iman, the less akhlaq. A person with bad akhlaq cannot have strong iman. Because the Prophet ﷺ clearly says so. The most best of you, the most perfect of you in iman are those that have the most akhlaq. And in one hadith he described them, الْمَوْطُؤُونَ أَكْنَاخَ, those whose shoulders are treaded over. What does this mean? It means that they are humble. It's not a matter of pride, of ego. الْمَوْطُؤُونَ أَكْنَاخَ, their aknaf, their shoulders, they will be treaded over. People can walk over them. Even the expression is in English. People can walk over them because they are so humble. They are not proud. Neither do they have an ego. Neither do they boast about their own characteristics and souls. Rather, they are those who are humble. The Prophet ﷺ then said, الَّذِينَ يَأْلَفُونَ وَيُؤْلَفُونَ, those who are friendly and respond to friendliness. They are very outgoing, and they respond to this type of friendliness. And this is in contrast to many brothers. If you try to become close to them, they will show you a coldness. Who are you? I don't know you. This is not a part of iman. This is not a perfection of iman. The Prophet ﷺ said that these are those who you can walk over their shoulders. In other words, they are humble. الَّذِينَ يَأْلَفُونَ وَيُؤْلَفُونَ, they are friendly, they are outgoing and friendly to others, and they receive this friendliness also. In other words, this goes both ways. When they are shown friendliness, they show back friendliness. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلَفُ وَلَا يُؤْلَفُ. And there is no good in someone who is not friendly, nor does he show friendliness back. There is no good in such a person. Such a person who stays to himself, he doesn't care about his Muslim brothers, he doesn't get to know them, doesn't say salam to them in the masjid, it's only his own nafsi, nafsi, ma'unso, ma'unso. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is no good in such a person. And that is why he said in the authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the one الَّذِي يَخْتَلِفُ مَعَ النَّاسِ وَيَصْفِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ, the one who mixes with the people and is patient at the harm that he suffers from them, is better than the one who stays away from the people and does not mix with them to avoid their harms. It is a part of human nature, it's a part of society. When you mix with society, friction will occur. When you mix with the Muslims, friction will occur. So the true believer, the Prophet ﷺ said, the believer who mixes with society and is patient at the harm that he receives, is better than the one who cuts away from society. The isolationist, the one who only will go to the masjid and meet not meet anyone, not say salam, come back into his house and family, then to the world. He doesn't care about the Muslims around him. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who goes and meets the people and is patient at the evil that is that he receives, he is better than the one who doesn't do any of this. Like he said, لَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَعْلَقْ وَلَا يُرَقْ, there is no good in the one who is not friendly, nor shows back the friendliness when shown to him. So this too is yet one of the blessings of akhlaq, that it is a sign of perfection of one's iman, and this is the general rule. The more akhlaq a person has, the more iman he has. And the less akhlaq a person has, the less iman he has. The sixth or the fifth point, which shows you the importance of good akhlaq, is that the one who has the better akhlaq is the one who is more beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves the person with good akhlaq, even if some of his good deeds are not fully done. But if he has good akhlaq, he is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah hates a person with evil akhlaq, even if he is praying his five prayers and fasting and giving his zakat. Allah hates the person who has this type of akhlaq. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ, Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. وَيُحِبُّ مَعَالِيَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَكْرَهُ سَفَاسِهَهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes noble and exalted akhlaq, and he hates evil akhlaq. He hates the lower akhlaq. So Allah likes exalted and good conduct, and he hates evil conduct. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى آنِيَةً مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has utensils, an aniya like this, a utensil, from the people of the earth. وَآنِيَةُ رَبِّكُمْ قُلُوبُ عِبَادِهِ الصَّالِحِينَ, and the utensils of your Lord are the hearts of the pious people, the hearts of the salihin. And the Prophet ﷺ then said, وَأَحَبُّهَا, the most beloved of these hearts, أَلْيَمُهَا وَأَرَقُّهَا, the ones that are the most soft and the ones that are the most humble. So when the heart is full of love for Allah and full of love for the other people, he is soft-hearted to the Muslims. He cannot bear to see their pains and sufferings. He loves to see good amongst the Muslims. These are the hearts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most, and these are the hearts that are the utensils of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ الْفَاحِشَ الْمُتَفَحِّشَ الْبَذِيِّ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يُبْغِضُ. Yubghid means he hates severely. The fahish, the mutafahish, and the badi, they are similar meanings. The one who is foul mouth, loud mouth, the one who always speaks bad. In other words, bad akhlaq. Vulgar curses come from him. People don't like to go to him. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that the most severe people on the day of judgment, of punishment, are those whom the people used to avoid because of their bad akhlaq. Yani a person becomes so bad, actually the hadith doesn't say bad akhlaq, it says because of their evil, yani sharrihim, and the context from that the ulama says is because of their bad akhlaq. The person becomes so bad that people try to avoid him, people stay away from him. When they know that so and so is coming to a party or a gathering, right, they will not go there. Because such an evil person, he doesn't even want to meet him. So when the mu'mineen, they combine,
and they agree that this person is so bad, I will not even go to places he's going, because he's going to say things that will hurt me. He's going to backbite, he's going to slander, he's going to do this and that. I don't want to meet him even. The Prophet ﷺ said about such a person that these type of people will have the most severe punishment on the day of judgment. Why? Because the believers themselves have testified their evil character. Wherever he goes, he spreads evil. He is rude, obnoxious, loud-mouthed, vulgar. The people themselves avoid him. And that's the Prophet ﷺ said, that أَنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You are the witnesses of Allah in this land. When all of the Muslims testify that so-and-so is of good character, of noble character, of good iman, of good knowledge, this is like as if they have testified on behalf of Allah. And when all of the Muslims testify that so-and-so is of evil character, and he is of bad reputation, and ill-mouthed, and ill-mannered, then so too they have testified, يعني, as if they are testifying on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is yet the fifth blessing of akhlaq, that Allah loves the one with good akhlaq, and He hates the one with bad akhlaq. Yet another blessing, the sixth blessing of good akhlaq, is that it is the heaviest things, the heaviest matter on the day of judgment. As you know, on the day of judgment we will come, and our good deeds will be weighed, and our bad deeds will be weighed on a scale, on a mizan. And the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, أَفْقَرُ شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ الْخُلُقُ الْحَسَنِ. The most heaviest things in the scale on the Day of Judgment will be good akhlaq. And we know that there are many things that will be heavy on the scale on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said, كَلِمَتَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ بِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Two things, they are very light upon the tongue, very beloved to Ar-Rahman, and very heavy in the scales. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. So there are certain things, and certain dhikrs, and certain acts, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, they will be heavy in the scales. A small thing to do, but it will weigh very much in the scales. And out of all of those things, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us what will be the most weightiest, the most heavy thing. He said, أَثْقَلُ شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. The heaviest thing that will ever come into the scales is الخلق الحسن, good akhlaq. So if we have a lot of evils that we need to make up for, we have a lot of sins, a lot of transgressions, and who amongst us does not? We need to make up for that by putting something heavy on the other side of the skin. One of the ways to do that is through good akhlaq. So this is yet another blessing of good akhlaq, is that it is the heaviest things on the scales of the Day of Judgment. The seventh blessing of good akhlaq is that the person who has good akhlaq will be the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment and in general. So the better akhlaq you have, the closer you will be to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the higher will be your rank in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The closest of you who will have a sitting place with me on the Day of Judgment, أَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلُقًا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Those who have the best akhlaq in this dunya. If you want to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want to have a manzil or a place, a station, a rank, where you'll be close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way to achieve that is through akhlaq. And he said in another hadith, إِنَّ أَحَبَّكُمْ إِلَيَّ وَأَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي فِي الْآخِرَةِ مَجَالِسِ. Those of you who are the most beloved to me. So before we talked about akhlaq as being beloved to Allah. Now yet another point, akhlaq is also beloved to the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, those of you who will be the most beloved to me and will have the closest places and ranks to me in the akhirah are those who had good akhlaq. أَحَاسِنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. Those who have the best akhlaq. Not even good, أَحَاسِنُكُمْ translates as the best akhlaq. So the better akhlaq you have, the closer will be your rank and station to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the opposite is also true. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the same hadith, وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ إِلَيَّ وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ إِلَيَّ. The ones who are the most hated to me. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hates a person, do you think he will be successful? The one who is the most hated to me, the one I hate the most, وَأَبْعَدُكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا, and the furthest from me in rank, the furthest from me, from my place of sitting, are those أَسْوَأُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا, the ones who have the worst, سوء الخلق, the worst akhlaq. أَسْتَرْفَارُونَ الْمُتَفَيْتَقُونَ الْمُتَشَدِّقُونَ. These are three descriptions given. Once again, they are similar in meaning. Loud mouth, vulgar mouth, they always speak bad. Nothing but evil comes from their mouth. So these type of people, they cause a lot of commotion wherever they go. They speak evil wherever they go. They are arrogant, loud mouthed. These type of people, the Prophet ﷺ said, they will be the most hated to me on the Day of Judgment, and the furthest from me in the manzil, in the majlis, in the station that they will occupy. So this is yet another importance, another blessing of good akhlaq, and it also shows you the dangers of bad akhlaq. The eighth blessing of good akhlaq, and with this we will conclude, the eighth blessing of good akhlaq is that of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has caused good akhlaq to be of such weight and such characteristics that the people of Jannah, the most common reason that people will enter Jannah is because of good akhlaq. This is the most common reason that the people will enter Jannah, they will be able to reach Jannah. Perhaps a person might be weak in his iman of Allah, might be weak in his salah, he might be weak in his zakah, he might be weak in something, not being able to, he's doing some things he shouldn't do. Because of Allah's mercy, and because of his good akhlaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at his good akhlaq, and because of that, overlook some of the other sins, and drag him into Jannah, and he raise him up to Jannah, because of his good akhlaq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was asked, مَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ, what is the thing that will cause people to enter Jannah the most? The Sahaba came to him, and realized, subhanAllah, it is of the blessings of Allah that the Sahaba asked such beautiful questions. They ask such beautiful questions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had we been there, we could not have asked anything more beautiful or perfect than this. So someone asked him, what is the one thing that will cause people to enter Jannah the most? He said, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحِسْنَ الْخُلُقِ. Having the taqwa of Allah, this is one thing that will cause them to enter Jannah, Allah, and also حِسْنَ الْخُلُقِ, having good akhlaq. So of the most common things that will cause a person to enter Jannah is to have good akhlaq. And of course the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as also mentioned here. Before we conclude, it is important to point out that good akhlaq reaches its peak when it is combined with knowledge. This is where it reaches its peak. A person who has good akhlaq but is not knowledgeable, he is good and in a good position. But it will reach the perfection, it will reach its height when a person also learns his deen. And he teaches the people the religion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "خيركم إسلاما أحسنكم أخلاقا إذا فقه." The best of you in Islam, the highest of you in Islam, are those who have the best akhlaq if they learn their religion. إذا فقه, if they learn their religion. So the height of iman, the height of taqwa, the height of Islam comes when a person is knowledgeable and has good akhlaq. And of course this doesn't mean that if a person is not knowledgeable he shouldn't have good akhlaq. No, we have already mentioned 8 or 9 benefits of akhlaq. But we're saying the perfection comes, the kamal comes, when this is combined with ilm and knowledge that we teach to the people, and spreading the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, before we conclude, we have to point out that akhlaq is of 3 types. And this is very important. The first of 3 categories, the first category is the akhlaq that a person should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his akhlaq with Allah, his creator. And of course, primary in this is tawheed, is love of Allah, fear of Allah, tawakkul in Allah, having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these is the akhlaq that a person should have with Allah, between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second category of akhlaq is the akhlaq that a person has with his fellow mankind. And primarily his parents, and then his children, his spouse, his or her spouse, and the brothers and sisters, the siblings, the cousins, extended family, and then the Muslims, and then his friends and relatives, and then all of mankind. Various degrees within here as well. But the second category in general is the akhlaq that a person should have with other people. Meet them with a smiling face. Yani the rights of the Muslim are upon the other Muslim. Okay, be good to them. Yani have good thoughts about them. Okay, avoid lying and cheating and stealing from them. All of these are the akhlaq that a person should have with his fellow Muslims. And the third category of akhlaq is the akhlaq that a person should have with himself. There is certain akhlaq that he should even have with himself. As you know, the incident when Salman al-Farsi saw his brother in Islam, Ibn Umar, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree that he would fast every single day, and
يعني pray every single night, and he would not even approach his wife. His wife would يعني not dress herself up, and she was asked why. She said, "What am I to do with the dunya? My husband has no interest in me." So this news eventually reached the Prophet ﷺ, also يعني, through other people. So the Prophet ﷺ said that verily, your body has a right over you as well, and your wife has a right over you as well, and your Lord has a right over you as well. Part of your akhlaq with yourself is that you do not strive more than you can do. You make sure you get enough sleep. You make sure you eat the best food, the most healthy and wholesome food. You make sure that يعني, you take care of your personal hygiene, which is a part of our sharia. This is a part of the akhlaq and other things of this nature. This is the akhlaq that a person should have with himself. So these three categories of akhlaq, akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akhlaq with the other people and mankind, and akhlaq with yourself, these are the three categories of akhlaq. Once we understand these three categories of akhlaq, we now understand the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا بُعِدْتُ لِأُتَرِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent. إِنَّمَا is an Arabic word which means exclusivity, which means this is the only reason. So إِنَّمَا بُعِدْتُ, the only reason I have been sent, is to perfect good manners, good akhlaq. إِنَّمَا بُعِدْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to perfect good akhlaq. A lot of people, when they read this hadith, they are confused. I thought the Prophet ﷺ was sent to preach Tawheed. I thought Tawheed was the most important thing. And the worship of Allah, and Iman, and Taqwa. Yes, it is. But once you understand that akhlaq is of three categories, the category with your akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the category with mankind, and the category with yourself. Once you understand this, then the hadith makes sense. Yes, the only reason the Prophet ﷺ has been sent is to perfect good manners. And of course, the manners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most important. And of the paramount importance is which book? A person's tawheed. So once you understand these three categories of akhlaq, this hadith becomes clear to you that the only reason the Prophet has been sent, إِنَّمَا بُعِدْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, to perfect good manners. And with that, we'll conclude by just pointing out the two extremes that exist amongst the Muslims in our time. There is a certain category of Muslims, and this is in general those who are not knowledgeable and not practicing that much. They make akhlaq amongst people the most important thing. So they say, even if I don't say my five salah, and I don't, يعني, I'm involved in riba, eating riba, and eating يعني, and doing this and that, as long as I am good to other people, this is the most important thing, and Allah will forgive me. This is one extreme. And this is very common amongst Christians as well, because this is their aqidah. Is that really they don't have an aqidah, they don't have a sharia. All they say is, as long as I'm good to everyone, God will save me. And this has also influenced many Muslims here, is that they think that, well, as long as I'm good to everyone else, right, then I will be saved. They forget that the akhlaq with Allah is more important than akhlaq with other mankind. If a person does not say his salah, this is one of the most major sins that we can do after shirk. So don't rely on akhlaq when you're not even perfecting your salah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one extreme. And the other extreme, which is also very common in our times, is that as long as I'm on the proper akhlaq with Allah in terms of aqidah, in terms of my methodology, I couldn't care less about anything else. Everything else will be forgiven as long as my aqidah is correct. As long as I have believe in Allah and affirm the names and attributes of Allah, everything else is irrelevant. I am now guaranteed Jannah, and I can do whatever I want to do with my other fellow Muslims, lie, backbite, cheat, slander, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. I have the proper aqidah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for this brother, he should remember that akhlaq is of three types, and it is very possible that a person will be thrown into the fire of hell just because of his akhlaq. Nothing to do with aqidah, nothing to do with his methodology. What is the proof for this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba, he said, do you know who is the muflis, the pauper, the beggar, the one that has nothing, the poor person in my community? They said, Ya Rasulullah, the muflis is the one who doesn't have any money. He doesn't have clothes. He doesn't have food. This is the one who is muflis, the one who doesn't have anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, the muflis in my community is the one who comes with good deeds like mountains. His salah, his zakah, his sadaqah. They're like mountains. Yet, at the same time, شَتَمَ هَذَا, he has cursed this person. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, he has hit that one. And he has abused that one. And he has spilt the blood of that one. Everything mentioned in this hadith is to do with akhlaq, with mankind.
nothing to do with aqidah, nothing to do with methodology of a Muslim, just of his akhlaq. So the Prophet said, so on the day of judgment, he will give those hasanat. They are like mountains, they were described. They are like mountains. He will give them to every single person that he wronged in this world, until he will have nothing left. And then there will still be people remaining that have to be dealt with. Because he doesn't have any hasanat, their sins will be pulled onto him. Their sins will be dragged and given to him. The sin that someone else committed will be put upon this person, a perfect aqidah, but his akhlaq was very bad. Then the Prophet said, he will be taken and dragged on his face to the fire. This is the muflis. This is the beggar, the pauper, the poor person. He has the hasanat like jibal. He has the hasanat like mountains. But he did not care about the rights of his fellow Muslims. And the Prophet said he will be thrown into the fire of hell. Not because of anything to do with aqidah or a bid'ah, but because he didn't have the proper akhlaq with his fellow mankind. So we should avoid the two extremes. Once we understand the three categories of akhlaq, that makes sense. But the two extremes that are in existence today, you concentrate on the akhlaq with Allah and ignore the akhlaq of mankind, and you concentrate on the akhlaq of mankind and ignore the akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, we are the Ummah of Nasaban, the middle nation. We put everything in its proper place. Without a doubt, the akhlaq with Allah are the most important thing. And then after that, and it is not trivialized, when we have to also emphasize the akhlaq with our fellow human beings. With that in mind, we will conclude insha'Allah. Subhanakallah wa ta'ala. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with good akhlaq, and he causes us to be amongst those who, because of it, insha'Allah, will enter Jannah bi idhnillahi ta'ala.
JazakAllahu khairan, my brother. And inshallah, we've got 10 minutes to take some questions. A few questions of the sisters, if they have any questions they'd like to prepare, if they can write them down, send them down with one of the children. Then if the brothers have some questions, then we'll make the mother's prayer, inshallah. And then after that,
JazakAllahu khairan, that's cool. Apologies for coming late. You may have already answered this. Last week we had a talk from the talk, and he mentioned that today we have a scenario in which when you speak to the people and you ask them, what is your aqidah? They'll say, I have the aqidah of the Salaf. And you ask them, who are the scholars? They say, and they mention the scholars of the Salaf. Yet, there is so much disunity amongst the Muslims, and so much backbiting, like you've already mentioned. What is the cure of this disease which we face today?
The question was that we find people who are following the same aqidah and looking up to the same scholars, yet we find so much disunity and so much backbiting and slander that is going on amongst them. What is the cure for this disease and problem? Wallahi, brother, your question is not an easy question. It's a question that is troubling the minds of the major ulama of our times. What is the way to deal with this disunity that exists amongst our own? What is the way to tackle the problem that every single one of us knows about? This is not a trivial question. It is not a question that I can respond to, and I don't even have the knowledge to respond to this. However, I do advise myself and you not to lose track of our goal in this life, and that is to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we put things into perspective, that our purpose here is to worship Allah based upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. This is what being a Muslim, what being a Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, what being a Salafi entails. Salafiyya is Islam, and Islam is Salafi. There is no difference between the two. They are synonymous. Anyone who adds more conditions besides this, this is a problem. Because we are following the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ummah after him, the Salaf after him. And their methodology was Islam, plain and simple. And what is Islam? Two simple principles: that we worship Allah alone, and that this worship is based upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is under understanding of the Sahaba and the early generation. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is our Islam. La ilaha illallah, we only worship Allah. Muhammad Rasulullah, that worship will be based upon the methodology and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Once we put these in mind and in perspective, that all we have to do here
is to call to the worship of Allah based upon the Sunnah and the Messenger of Allah, as taught by the early, as understood by the early generations. Really, if everyone had this in mind, I don't think there would be that much of khilaf and problems. But the problem is people, yeah, complicate this equation, complicate the matter, and this is where most of the problems start from. Also, Allahu A'lam, and Allah knows best, a lot of people lose track of the purpose of creation. They have forgotten that they are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is done, like we said, by obeying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My advice to myself and to my other Muslim brothers here, sitting here, is that every person should try what is best for him. Yani every person has a certain sphere that he can control, himself, his family, his surroundings. Let him try to perfect that. Let him perfect himself. Let him perfect his family. And slowly but surely, if we do this, then inshallah we will cause some changes, or a change in our society. But if we worry about everyone else all the time, and ignore ourselves, if we pick on the faults of everyone else and ignore our own faults, then in reality we're not going to get very far. But let's try, every one of us, wallahi, every one of us has so many problems, so many sins that we have to answer to, so many akhlaq problems, so many problems of the heart, diseases of the soul, and so many things that he is falling short of. Let us be introspective. Let us turn our sight into ourselves. See how we can improve our own situation. Let everyone ask himself, how can I come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if everyone simply asks this question, and this is not controversial, this is not something that should cause any fuss, how can I come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Once this question is asked to everyone, and everyone tries to answer it, really I think the priorities and I think the understanding that everyone has will change, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But really, after your question is not an easy one, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses us with iman and taqwa and husna khuluq. Because when we're living in this type of situation and time, it becomes difficult to guard our iman, to guard our good akhlaq. Sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do. So let us pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards us with our husna khuluq. And I also like to mention one incident of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I forgot to mention, showing the importance of akhlaq. And really this is an incident that should bring softness to the heart. That Aisha radiallahu anha was lying with the Prophet in bed, and the Prophet left her and he went somewhere. So Aisha, she was a young girl, she was and she became jealous that maybe he went to another of his wives or something. So she followed him out, where was he going? Okay, and she woke and she found the bed was empty, so she was scared that the Prophet might have gone to another of his wives. So she opened the curtain into the masjid, right, and she saw the his little toe. She came up to him and wiggled his little toe, and he wiggled back, turning that, telling that indeed he is alive. There's nothing wrong with him. While in this state, Aisha heard the Prophet's dua. Can you imagine, all alone, left his bed, left his most beautiful wife and his youngest wife, gone into the masjid to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the middle of the night, no one is hearing him. What is he asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is saying, Allahumma ahdini lahtana, Allahumma أهدني لأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عني سيئها لا يصرف عني سيئها إلا أنت. Oh Allah, guide me to the best of أخلاق. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the masjid, all alone, in sajda, last prayer of the night. Oh Allah, guide me to the best of أخلاق. No one can guide me except you. And turn me away from the most evil of أخلاق. No one can turn it away from me except you. So in response to your question, let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask good akhlaq for ourselves and for all of the Muslim brothers that are here. And inshallah, like I said, slowly but surely the change will come. Do not give up hope. Verily the nasr, the victory does come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are patient. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us good akhlaq in this dunya and rewards us for it in the akhirah.
We know that we're supposed to love and hate for the sake of Allah. How do we correlate this with our manners towards the kufra?
The question is, we know that we're supposed to love and hate for the sake of Allah. How do we correlate this with our manners to the kufra? Very good question. We have to realize that there is various types of love. Right? There's various types of love. There is a natural love that a person feels for his parents, his children, his wives, and his spouses, whatever. There is a religious love.
And of course, religious love is also a category. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the essence of Tawheed. The love for the sake of Allah, or the love, I mean, because of Allah you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of Allah you love the angels, because of Allah you love, yani, the other religious thing. And the love for the sake of Allah, you love someone because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to love him, and this is what we have amongst the Muslims. So this type of love cannot be for the non-Muslim. It cannot be. However, some of us might be converts, some of us might have non-Muslim relatives. It is possible we have a love for them of the natural type. As long as we have a love for the natural child, it is not possible that a person converts to Islam and his parents are not Muslim, that he doesn't love them. It is not possible. He must love them. But this love must be of the what type? The natural type of love. He must realize that the religious love is exclusive for the Muslim. Right? So once we understand this, also obviously in terms of da'wah, we cannot have a religious love for the kuffar. But we should have a general love that these are my brethren in humanity, therefore I must try to guide them. Okay? We cannot have a religious love for the kuffar. They have rejected Allah and His Messenger. But if we have a relative, we have a spouse, we have a parent, and we have a natural love for them, this does not go against our aqidah or our sharia. Rather, the Prophet himself loved his mother and his father very much, and he cried when he visited his mother's grave, even though his mother, as we know, was not a Muslim, did not die in Islam, yet he cried in memory of his mother. So, keeping this in mind, when we are giving da'wah, we are allowed to have good akhlaq. Rather, it is imperative to have good akhlaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِيهِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not prohibited you from being good to and being just to those kuffar who have not tortured you or kicked you out of your houses. In other words, if they haven't done evil to you, don't do evil to them. And this is the case of the kuffar that we're amongst whom we are living now. We be just to them, and we be tabarruhum means be good to them. وَتُقْسِطُرَيْنِ means be just with them, be equal, yani have equality with them. Don't lie and cheat just because he's a kafir. Don't backbite him just because he's a kafir, no. Even the kafir has some rights upon you. You're not allowed to backbite him or lie or cheat or steal or slander him. Rather, we should show good akhlaq to them, but the goal, the reason should be in order to guide him to Islam. The reason should be that we want to bring him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closer to Islam through these good akhlaq. But in the process, we must realize that the love, the religious love, is only for the Muslim. And as for the kafir, we can only have a sympathy to guide him, but this religious love will never be his until he accepts Islam. Allah ta'ala a'lam.
Inshallah, JazakAllah khairan again to Brother Muhammad. Inshallah, before you, I don't know when you're leaving us, or we're turning back to the beginning of the United States, where are we going next? Monday? We don't know, it's Thursday again. Okay, inshallah. Inshallah, we pray that Allah gives you a safe journey, that you remember us in your dua while you're traveling, inshallah. JazakAllah khairan, subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, we'll take the Maghrib now, inshallah.